Okay, here we are, hour number three, and we're going to spend it with Yoichi Shimatsu, who has been with us for years and years now, over 5 years. He is somewhere in Asia right now and standing by to make his weekly contribution, which is always extraordinary. He is a remarkable man. His vision, his knowledge, his wisdom in the fields of ecology, the environment, geopolitics, he's really a Renaissance man, and somebody, he never ceases to amaze me with his writing. Are you there, Yoshi? How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Everything's fine. You know, it's extraordinarily hot in Southeast Asia this year because of this real onset of the Fukushima radiation in the seawater and the wind currents, you know.
See, it's playing into the hands of... It's playing into the hands of the global warming freaks. They're hiding behind Fukushima radiation.
Yeah. Although, you know, a lot of things aren't working out to their theories. So that's what, there's some consternation there among the climate change theorist crowd, because the models aren't working out. It's like things aren't supposed to be going this way. So it is... I think there's a lot of confusion, and they're going to have to get over, you know, their resistance to looking at the real science of how nuclear radioactivity can alter the world climate in ways that are very unexpected. You know, there's not like a really good model. You just can't model this stuff, basically. You know, it's an artificial phenomenon. It's nothing like incremental. Amounts of gas being carbon dioxide or greenhouse gases being poured into the environment. Yeah. It's a very freaky thing that has high energy, moves very quickly, is at various altitudes, and there's no way we can really understand a lot of those movements right now. You know, Fukushima is an incredible study.
No one is helping us.
It might be our last study. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody is helping us understand it. We're doing science, citizen science. Yoshi science is what we're doing, and Dana Durnford science, and we're not getting any help from anybody. You are literally the world's foremost honest authority on this issue. Dana Durnford is the world's top researcher in this field. I mean, he has risked his life. Without you two, where would we be? We'd be sitting with Woods Hole.
Yeah, we would be lost. We call it citizen science, but what it really is, I call old science or fundamental science, is basically based on observation of phenomena around us. And then, you know, exactly what Dana's doing. He's going out the oceans, taking measurements, looking under the water, over the water, looking in the sky, and taking notes. You know, this is what scientists, Darwin, I don't agree with all of his findings, but that's what he did on the Beagle when he went around the world. You know, he drew pictures, took notes, thought about what he was observing, right? Trying to put things together.
You know, you just said it all. If it looks like a radioactive, tumor-ridden, cancer-ridden, malignant fish, if it swims like a radioactive, tumor-ridden, cancer-ridden, malignant fish, it is a tumor-ridden, cancer-ridden, malignant fish.
Yeah, and then you know, you look at, and then you put that into a time frame. The people at Woods Hole are saying, well, this has to do with atmospheric nuclear tests, 40, 50 years ago. But why are they suddenly all surfacing now, right?
Right, exactly.
Does the sky suddenly fall in? No, the sky didn't suddenly fall in. The sky is actually being held up there by Fukushima. What happened, obviously, happened 5 years ago. And unfortunately, as we've seen in Rio, this monstrous politician, this a person who I just consider a total maniac, an insane, insane psychopath, Shinzo Abe there in a Super Mario hat, at the closing of the Rio Olympics, talking about, hey, everyone, Shimatsu, come to Tokyo in 4 years. And as I think I've shown to you, on this show and to others, in slideshows, the entire water supply of Tokyo is radioactive.
Come to Tokyo and die. At least hasten your death.
That's why I call him a psychopath. Yeah, he's a sociopath. You know, he wants people to take that food, you know, take that rice. You know, he wants people to eat.
Absolutely.
Drink Tokyo's water. Yeah, go into that basin, which is something like a, you know, like a solar oven. It's a solar oven of radioactivity, the Tokyo Bay. He wants people to go in there, and young people, and get killed. And then, you know, well, and the Olympic Committee, look at them. Look at the Olympic Committee. What did they do about the Zika virus? Total denial.
What Zika suddenly, virus?
Pretty, you know, Brazil was in the... Yeah, exactly. Microcephaly and so on. It was in the news every hour of the day, right? Babies with tiny little heads.
Not until the Olympics. Yeah.
Then the Olympics, suddenly, there's nothing there. Okay? Everyone's safe. Only thing you have to worry about is the green water in the swimming pool. Obviously, if Zika didn't get you in Rio, the pesticides did. That's what I'll say. A lot of those swimmers, a lot of those athletes exposed in that humid air, they were so massively exposed to pesticides. Their nervous systems, I'm sure, are shot.
Oh, I'll bet they sprayed the They sprayed the holy hell out of the place. Yeah. No question. None.
Yeah. In outside, indoors, in the dorms, a lot of those are going to have nervous disorders from organophosphate pesticides, basically from nerve gas, you know, the same stuff sarin is made out of. So this is how irresponsible these global, you know, these global events are.
Now, anything
and,
for a buck.
Tokyo will be to top them off. Well, the one in Tokyo will top them off. And so we've got another rough 4 years ahead of us to the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get the truth, you know, through the people. You know, beat some sense, common sense into people's heads that is dangerous over there.
You know what's really, what's sad, Yoshi, is that we used to get 3-4 years ago, before Shinzo Abe and his goons shut everything down, we were getting some very interesting and relevant and, in fact, crucial information from citizens in Japan who had Geiger counters and handheld dosimeters, and they were going out and they were measuring things, and they were putting up YouTube videos, and these things were incredibly important.
Well, there's still people measuring things, but they don't dare put them up on YouTube.
No,
could be found in violation of a security law and be taken to a secret court and be given a 15-year sentence. You know, let's say, if they talk to any government employee, if they if a school children meets with a high school science teacher, that would qualify for being a subversive, a terrible subversive, trying to undermine the state of Japan. So, I mean, this is nonsense. Obviously, we've seen the emperor challenge this. You know, he's tried to take on Shinzo Abe. He says, I'm going to quit, but you're going to have to debate that in parliament first. You know, you're not going to, you know, shut me off to the side, pass all these bills, change the constitution, and then corner me in the end, right, to sign the thing. No, I want to be put right up there, right in the front of this process, and I want you guys to come out and face me. So at least, and unfortunately, Japan is not a kind of democracy, a populist democracy, like the United States or even a Britain or Australia or something like that. It's much more... it remains a kind of a monarchy and elitist monarchy.
Very, very rigid.
But luckily, the emperor is on the right side of this thing.
That was kind of a surprise.
Had nuclear weapons.
That was a surprise to me to see him come out like that.
Yeah. No, it wasn't for me because he has been voicing this stuff. You know, he's been showing through his actions. He's been out to Fukushima to see the people much more than Abe has. In fact, he's had bouts with cancer and all that since Fukushima. So his ill health is related to Fukushima.
That makes a believer of him, doesn't it?
So he's well aware of that. His physicians are well aware of that. So he's a good man, a sensible man who's trying to stop this maniac who right now, Abe has been lobbying the federal government, the United States government, not to have a no first strike, you know, nuclear strike policy.
Right.
The federal government in the U.S. has, in other words, we don't use nuclear weapons unless we're attacked with nuclear weapons. You know, it's a retaliatory system. It's a deterrent system, right? But Abe says, that is nonsense. You should use nuclear weapons. I mean, what more, I mean, proof do we need about this guy?
And,
he started a new reactor, a MOX reactor, and the island Shikoku, that's our smallest of the four islands, right next to that massive fault that knocked out Kumamoto, killed 40 people, destroyed large parts of Kyushu, you know, the second largest, or third largest island down south, destroyed Kyushu. This reactor is right across the water. It's on the same major fault line, like the San Andreas Fault. It's a MOX reactor, and they started a month early, okay? He started this up a month. He ordered the go-ahead. The man is intent on, you know, getting as much plutonium as possible, so before the Olympics, you know. So this is a real, this is going to be a rough 4 years because they're speeding up Japan's nuclear program. They get more and more warheads aboard. And then so he's going to try to squeeze through a first strike policy that Japan will have the right to attack any country with nuclear weapons, you know. Well, without being attacked first.
Yeah, so, that's right.
And the problem is Japan has already been attacked first, right? In 1945, there's been two nuclear strikes against Japan. And as I've warned the American people, you got to understand, there are guys who want, in the Shinzo Abe group, who want retaliation. Yeah? And they'll kill themselves to do it. They'll be really happy to see, you know, 30, 40 Japanese ballistic missiles heading toward American cities. Yeah. So we got to understand what's at stake here. You know, that people, Americans have a very, very short memory. Other people never forget, okay? So there's a huge difference, you know, in attitude. And that's why I said we got to be vigilant against what's happening there in Japan. And then also, we got to stop this Olympic. You know, I mean, that may be the first real major killing field, you know, to get a lot of people from the government.
Well, it won't kill them. It won't kill them on the track or in the pool. But 10 to 15 years later, they're all going to be dying.
The DNA pool in all these countries, you know, United, especially the larger countries with the larger teams, United States, Britain, right, China, all the people there. That's a significant number of people going back with DNA damage. And then also the leaders will be coming and so on. So we have to understand there's a trap being set, you know, and not to step into that trap, not to walk into a bear trap, you know, but to keep your wits about you.
All right.
And
now,
how's Dana doing today, by the way?
I don't know. Dana's probably asleep, resting.
He's had that court, that brutal thing with the. What it looks very much like another murder roadway murder attempt, like happened to you. So he's. I'm sure he probably was injured and didn't know about that.
I don't know, but that.
A lot of times when you're in shock. When you're in shock, you sometimes suffer injuries.
It shook him up, that's for sure.
You're so stunned.
Yeah. Well, the wheels didn't come off. The wheels didn't come off. So he didn't crash. That was very fortunate.
They did not come off as planned,
They
did not come off as planned because they overheated. Sand like that does not come into your hubcaps like that, or the caps of your wheels, you know.
No.
Bolted down.
Of course.
You know, the sand does not naturally occur there.
Yeah.
And in that part of the world, he's not driving on a lot of sand, you know. The boat launches and they're all paved up there, you know. It's not like
right.
The third world or anything.
Right.
So.
Let me draw all of your attention to Yoshi's columnist box on the left-hand side. You can see his extraordinary writings there. And his latest is called The Patsy File, the New York Imam and Associates. His associate were murdered. And if you click that open and read it, you'll come away with a whole new understanding of what may be involved with this thing. It's really a shock. And we got a picture of this guy, the suspect. And he looks Middle Eastern to me. I don't know who he is, but... And you look, we got a clear shot.
No, that guy's he's a Puerto Rican. He's got a lot of African blood in him.
Okay,
yeah.
I see
and
that.
He's a patsy.
Oh, of course.
A patsy.
Well, look at his shirt.
Exactly. New school, basically new school facility management, and that refers to the New School of Social Research, which was one of the brain trusts behind MK Ultra, this fellow Leon Festinger.
Yeah.
You know, he was a top researcher. He came up with a theory of cognitive dissonance. In other words, who you imagine you are may not correspond with who you used to be, who you were, and maybe who you actually are, that you can have this fatal split in your personality.
Yep.
And then when challenged by your real self, when you're challenged by reality, you'll do anything you have to do to protect your artificial identity. And this is what gets people in MK, in the MK Ultra program, the assassins, to go out and kill people, because these people, their targets are presented to them in a way that these people threaten you. Okay, they're a massive threat to you. Okay, and to
that's how they do it. So you're basically acting in self-defense by killing them.
Yeah, but with a totally brainwashed personality.
Yeah, sure,
that
sure.
They give.
Of course,
they take
of course.
Aspects of your personality, magnify them. They destroy your past, giving you new names and all that. But you still have this anxiety because you go around feeling things aren't right. Mm-hmm. Things aren't right. You know, right?
And then you get
You see this? Yeah, and then you go out and kill somebody.
Well, then you get your meds too. Now,
this depends heavily on meds. The New School Psychology Department, which was one of the brain trusts of NK Ultra, they work with Bethel Israel Hospital in New York City. There's a psychiatric.
Oh, what
there.
A connection!
So, no problem.
Wow.
And they also have connections with hospitals in Tel Aviv too. So.
You just nailed it. When you saw the guy's shirt, you caught that, and we found a good picture.
Yeah.
And it's crystal clear.
Well, they've gotten sloppy. Let's say back in the 60s and 70s, he wouldn't be wearing that shirt. They just rip it off his back. But today's federal agents, they don't have a clue, right? The police, the cops don't have a clue as MKUltra.
No, that shirt should have been gone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Police intelligence in New York slipped, okay? A tiny little detail got to the net, and they had to admit, because the first story was, he works in a warehouse, okay? This guy, Oscar Morrell, he's employed at a warehouse, some unspecified warehouse.
I see. It's kind of almost as good as a book depository.
He's got the shirt on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got the shirt on, photos out there. Oops, folks, he's a janitor at the New School, a night janitor. So easy, if you get a guy like that, you hire these guys like this, okay? Give him a pretty good salary, he has a fan. You can make a replica of that person. The car he drives, the clothes he wears, right? The general direction he would drive home to. He used to live in Ozone Park near this mosque where the imam was shot and the imam and assistant. Mm-hmm. So you can create an alter person outside, basically a hitman who sort of, you got to go through your file, who looks sort of like this guy, and they had this guy, but he looked a lot more Middle Eastern, more almondized, longer beard. To match our suspect Oscar there, and then this guy would do the shooting. Now, what went wrong was that at the police lineup, the witness there, the closest witness said, "No, it's not that guy there. No, it's not Oscar. It's this guy over here, another fellow." Okay, just a guy that the police threw in there. Okay. Off the street. So obviously there's no resemblance. There's actually very, very little resemblance. There's some resemblance in photograph with the artist drawing, but even there, there's just key differences, key differences. So
that's funny.
You wouldn't have those eye-nose-mouth ratios there that they use, for identification, computer identification purposes.
He's an easy read. That's really a unique.
Yeah. And so obviously, Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, top Democrat in New York State, ran Bill Clinton's reelection campaign and Hillary Clinton's state campaign to be a New York senator. He was campaign organizer for that. He's a mayor, total crook, okay? And I did an earlier article on his connections with this huge police scandal, which is probably related to the attempt to assassinate Donald Trump at Trump Towers, the guy with the Glock. That's not kidding. Bill de Blasio, just a sworn enemy of Donald Trump, okay? So, and he goes to the funeral on the day after the shooting and gives a big talk. 2,000 of people gathered there. They now basically, not naming by name, but all the newspapers knew, he was referring to Trump for, breeding racism and bigotry against Muslims. Now, this whole spiel that de Blasio is going to do. So it was definitely a planned event, and the Democratic Party of New York heavily involved. The new school, look at the faculty, heavily Jewish, founded by Jews, European Jews, you know, came over. I think it was MK Ultra, Jewish Hospital. So, and then we had the Hasidic Jews earlier with the New York cop scandal. So, you know, the handwriting is there. It's so embarrassing that there's many now Jewish people who are actually coming over to the Trump campaign, Republicans, who are saying, you know, I mean, it, you know, they're getting scared of what these guys
are doing. Well, they should be. They should be. Yeah.
Yeah, they realize if this continues, you know, Trump's going to have every reason to go after Jews. You know? So a lot of Jews now in the Republicans are breaking with the elite Republican Jewish money and coming over.
You know, it's every time a Republican... go ahead.
Go ahead.
Every time a Republican of some, every time a Republican of some alleged stature or note announces that he is not going to support Trump, I mean, my response, if I were Trump, and I think he probably feels this way, I don't need these people. So what?
Yeah.
I'm not running to please them. Yeah. What the hell? Let them go.
Right.
Goodbye.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, America right now is seeing a populist insurgency, okay? It's mainly on the right, but it's also on the left. You know, we see the Sanders campaign.
Yeah.
We see monstrous things happen to the people in the Sanders campaign, both externally and from within, saboteurs within. But we've seen the Seth Rich murder, okay? We've seen this lawyer, you know, who served a court order against... a legal complaint, you know, against the Democrat Party. Murdered two people, Washington murders. That Sean Lucas was a lawyer.
Yeah, he was.
Between these murders that, you know, got Reddit just, you know, on fire. People are wondering, you know, a lot of people, younger people now, are really breaking with Hillary and all. Deborah Wasserman, Congresswoman from Florida, head of the DNC, massively implicated in these emails of rigging the primary. And then, but now a really important thing is happening in August 30th, the end of this month. That's the Florida primary in which Wasserman Schultz is her name, Schultz. She's running again for the same office in Congress, but she's being challenged by Bernie Sanders' ally named Tim Canova, who's a lawyer, law professor, and he's been one of the leading critics of the banking system of Wall Street before the 2008 crisis. During the 2008 crisis, he's been right up front about it. Also a New Yorker, and you got to know about Wasserman's district, the 23rd district in Florida, is basically parts of Miami, Miami Beach, but also Broward County, Palm Beach. And to understand that, that part of Palm Beach is where Meyer Lansky used to reside, okay? All his cronies, shows for the gambling industry, bookies, hitmen, they all reside there, you know? And then the Genovese family resides in their district.
Oh, how interesting.
It's known as the heart, this is the fountainhead of all the scams in America, forged credit cards, identity theft. It all happens there in Debbie Wasserman's district. She's the third highest, receiver of donor money for the Democratic Party.
Oh, okay? She is?
She makes...
Oh, I didn't know that.
She makes millions and millions of dollars to the Democratic Party.
Uh-huh.
She's behind Nancy Pelosi. And we know Pelosi. She's a daughter.
Yeah.
There's a mayor, Alessandro, who is a crony of this guy, Lord Julius. Big time Julius Salisbury. It's a big time mob. He turned out to be an Israeli later in life. He disappeared to Israel in Baltimore. And Pelosi, of course, she's hooked up with Willie Brown, you know, who represents all the big drug cartels in California, okay? So she's number one fundraising. Rob, who inherited, along with Hillary Clinton, the Henry Crown machine in Chicago. This is mainly government contract embezzlement, city contract embezzlement. You know, these are all embezzlers, okay? That's Rahm Emanuel, number two. Debbie Wasserman, number 3, out of Palm Beach, Miami. She's basically a bad woman for the mafia, okay? And then her big campaign has been to maintain a state of deregulation of what's called the payday loan industry. You know, fast cash, you see these little windows?
Oh, yeah.
Need a loan?
You check cashing,
and
sure.
Sign over your paycheck and they'll give you a loan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, these are the bloodsuckers, you know.
They are.
And then I done a little research into this thing, this guy Cano is right on. What it is that you think these are mom-and-pop operations. Okay, a few local thugs involved. No, it turns out that behind these windows, these payday cash windows, are the big hedge funds. Okay, so J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, they can borrow money from the federal government for zero interest, basically. Okay? Turn that over to the hedge funds that they secretly set up.
Yep.
Hedge funds turn the money over to these mom-and-pop shops, okay, these local gangster shops.
Yeah.
And the interest rates on these loans is 300% a year.
Wow.
300% a year.
Wow.
I mean, this is incredible. It's called usury. You know, the state attorney general has been trying to fight these guys for usury, okay, as many states have. But they're a powerful group. They're often located in key battle states between the Democrats and Republicans, Wasserman next to you. And so Canova has been challenging. I got to say, I think the Trump people and the Sanders people got to realize, you know, given this insurgency, neither side can take on Wall Street by themselves. There's got to be a quid pro quo. For Trump to get in, a lot of Democrats are going to have to vote for Trump, right, in the election.
Correct.
And by the same coin, you know, a lot of Democrats who would vote for Trump in Florida have got to consider voting for Canova, right, to get rid of Wasserman and her gangster pals.
Yeah.
And not an easy task. This is really, really transformative.
No, this is a vote fraud.
Politics
this is
getting pretty serious.
No, there's too much riding on this.
People are getting killed.
Yochi, the people could get killed. Yep. A vote fraud is a gimme on this one. She'll win 51-49. She'll win. Watch.
Well, this thing, Skydo, the Spanish company. You know, this is, you know, that's another thing about this Seth Rich murder is that he was on the voter expansion project, and
right.
That's all about online voting, getting people on the rolls. And I think that's really behind his murder. The leaks were sort of, if you come after us, we're going to leak about the DNC. I think that was a defensive tactic. I think the real explosive thing.
Uh-huh.
It's how the Democrats are enlisting people, our psychiatric institutions, people who are invalids in the hospital.
Old tricks.
We're seeing now, people who are dead. And then they're pushing for no ID. You don't have to show ID at the polls.
I know, this is
anyone can walk in.
This is so unconstitutional and un-American.
My name is John Smith. Okay.
This is incredible.
Amazing,
it's
right?
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And anyone supporting that is not an American.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, anyone can come in and claim to be somebody, give you a slip of paper and say, you're so-and-so and this is your address, and go in there and vote this way, and you come out, and the payday loan guy got, you know, $500 for you, whatever.
This is, Yoshi, this is the last election. This is the last chance.
Well, see, this is why Seth Rich, he was the data manager for that project. I'm sure, you know, he smelled a rat. He realized this isn't about getting uncommitted young people we never voted for on the road. This is about electoral fraud on a massive scale with the Spanish company. And the latest investor in the in this company is who is the co-founder of Paul Allen? Yeah, Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft,
billionaire.
He's put $45 million into that company. Paul Allen.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, and then Oracle, the head of Oracle is in that. So we got a Democrat lineup behind this thing.
Oh, it's all the techies, the media, all the techies. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're obviously, you put in $44 million into this voting machine, online voting operation based in Barcelona, Spain.
You mentioned this, hold on a second. You mentioned this Spanish company again. No one has mentioned this.
S-C-Y-T-L. Yeah, SkyTel.
Yeah, I have not heard. I have not heard that even mentioned since the last election.
One of the big investors is Baldrige Capital, and there's an Interlocking board member out of Baldrige, a very young American guy out of Boston, who's on the board of the big Rothschild corporate investment fund. Rothschild's got their fingers in this because they want to control the European Parliament. You know, Soros has actually stayed out of it because they know he would spoil it. So, but they're using all these front men in there to pull this thing over. And so there's going to be a lot of key, the swing states, a lot of swing states are going to be run by these machines. Online voting, another thing where, you get someone, let's say if you're in the armed forces, you get their documentation, they'll send you a ballot. Huh. I mean, do we really know they actually, what prevents me as a division commander not to have all these ballots sent to some other address, right? I mean, Germany somewhere, right? And all these ballots are coming in to the next door town, okay, and not to the base. What prevents that from happening, okay? So this thing is so rife with problems, and I think Seth Rich realized this. I'm sure he probably knew Sean Lucas. They probably had the drink that night at the second bar.
Correct.
Because the people at the first bar, his girlfriend said he had drinks with people.
That's
with
right.
Friends.
That's right.
But the bartenders at the first bar, Louis said, no, he was sat there all alone. And then he left late at night. Of course, he's going to be late at night, after one.
Yeah.
And he went over to this place called Wonderland Bar. And, it was sort of a gay bar, but that was a perfect cover, for these guys. Because no one's going to pay any attention in a gay bar, right?
That's right.
Confidentiality. They go in there, they talk their stuff, go sit in the car for an hour, exchange data, from their phones and all that. He goes back home and a shot, he's walking home. Shot twice in the back.
So, a lot of dead people.
We're talking about this is a murderous election, this thing. Hillary obviously trying to stay out of the limelight. She doesn't want to be visually associated, right?
No.
With a murder headline on the left-hand side of the page and Hillary's picture on the right-hand side of the page.
Which is really where it ought to be, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're a crisis manager, that's the last thing you want to see. And your young guy who doesn't want to do the vote rigging for you is dead, and you're sitting here, haranguing people who ought to vote. terrible things are happening around the world,
and they're going to continue to happen. It's not going to stop. It's only going to intensify.
Yeah. Well, my point is, if you remember, we discussed sharks. Remember when my earlier reports from Southern California, I talked to a fishing wildlife experts, and we talked about there's the sensor systems, the sharks, and how they're getting more aggressive. And then you listen to me, what I said about Fukushima, radiation, radioactivity would make sharks more aggressive. Yeah, go a little crazy.
Yes, absolutely.
Attack seals without eating.
Well, it's their food. Their food.
We're looking at what's happening in the American race. The murders galore. Okay.
Yeah.
These people like Debbie Wasserman is nearly incomprehensible, right? People are just wondering, is she a mad woman? Right? She's putting the base to the base at the worst possible times, at midnight or something. She's juggling. She's every dirty trick in the book, right?
Yep.
And it's too transparent. But she's doing it frantically. Her aides can't figure out what's happening. They wanted to get rid of her from the DNC. Sharks, man, don't you see it? These people are under the influence of radioactivity. Okay.
What an interesting idea. Yeah.
Look at Hillary, right? Look at Hillary. She goes berserk. She blasts off at her age. She goes into these tantrums, and then she has to disappear, right? And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. So this is the problem we're seeing, everywhere, that people are starting to lose their minds. This is happening at dangerous times during the election. And people are getting killed. That's called aggression. When you have to kill, you can't just tell this guy, Seth Rich, here, here's $100,000. You're okay. Here, I'll give you $300,000. Go to Switzerland for a while. Disappear. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how to handle it? Right? But to have some, you know, strong arms from the payday loan industry go up there and shoot them in the back. I mean, beat them up and shoot them in the back. Yeah, that's their tactics, right? They beat the crap out of you, then they shoot you, make you a lesson to other deadbeats. You know,
that's correct. Yep.
So it looks to me that's handwork. Whereas Sean Lucas lives much more professional, right? He dies
yes.
in bed. In
yeah.
the
yeah.
Right.
Two
modus operandi, two teams, so whoever is giving the order from the DNC is very high up in the intelligence establishment and linked with mobsters, okay? And of course, the intelligence groups, they do use mobsters, so, but they use two different modus operandi to show that, oh, these are two different cases, you know? They're not related to each other, you know? Any record of Sean having a drink with Seth Rich at the Wonderland Ballroom that night. Yeah, no one remembers.
Right? Gone. No, of course not. Him. They don't want to die.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So
it's really ugly.
Happening.
Yeah.
Some guy tried to climb the wall of the Ecuadorian embassy, got away. Okay,
And that's a big story that I've got it up there, but I didn't see it anywhere else to speak of. Nobody's reporting it. Yeah, it was attempted murder. There was an attempted assassination. Julian Assange. Did you hear about it?
Yeah,
nope.
I mean, you know, I keep telling people the Jason Bourne film series is drawn from reality. You know, it's fiction, but it's based on fact. These are the methodologies. Look at whether you're there, how they track people on computers, okay? They can track you down on computers. Okay? Two, how do you get into, you know, buildings with tight security? How do you get smuggle a gun and the hitman separately into that building? Yeah? All of these things. You know, how do you go to the external, outside the building, okay, to kill people through the window? It's all there in Jason Bourne. Yeah.
That's really interesting. The movie was panned a little bit by critics, I guess. I didn't get a chance to see it. But that's interesting.
I thought it was a quite excellent movie because, you know,
it's all grounded in
like
the things that we know.
Drama, and the love story. No, there's no love story, no side of God. There's none of the, you know, schmaltz, you know? There's none of the schmaltz in there, right? No fat. There's just muscle. And it tells you, this is the way it is, folks, and it's getting worse. Nothing is stopping, okay? Jason Bourne's been through this for 15, 20 years. And the program continues. They just create new programs. The same thing is being warmed over time and time again.
What I want to know is about this guy that climbed the embassy. Okay, here's what it says. It says, users suggested that it was probably an assassination attempt ordered by Clinton. Here's a quote. At 2:47 a.m., that's pitch black, folks. An unknown man scaled the side wall and the window of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, fled after being caught by security. Now, can you explain to me how someone flees after being caught by security?
They're trained to resist. When you're caught, they don't fight right away because they're going to get shot. But when security is just about to cuff them, that's when just the Jason Bourne movie show, that's when you slam them with your elbows in the head, you know, with your head. Yeah, that's when you bust them, knock them down, and that'll give you, 15 seconds with which to escape. Okay?
Well,
You don't resist in the beginning. You got to find that moment. When they're trying to, you know, they're taking the cuffs off.
So this guy was a real top level. You're saying this guy was a real top level assassin.
He's a real assassin. Yeah, he's the real deal. You know, the Jason Bourne type, the real MK Ultra guy. You know, the guy that former cop, former FBI guy, who's now been put, you know, has been brainwashed and his skills are honed and all that, just like this Barry Lee Bush guy. Okay?
Well, tomorrow night is the fourth week anniversary of Barry Lee Bush's foiled attempt to go down in history.
Not a word.
Nothing.
I've been looking around for bookings and all that. I've asked people if I have a booking. Nothing. about the booking, his book, nothing about the Metropolitan Correction Center run by the federal government and Southern District in New York City. You know, he's obviously an asset. Okay, he's an asset, so he's got immunity. And he just transferred to Virginia there, where he's just given a new identity, new job.
Oh, yeah. He's a wet works. He's a wet works op. He's what he is.
Yeah. He was doing that in Kenya, the Middle East, and South Asia. They said Southeast Asia. So he's been around. Yeah. You know, so in this FBI fly program. You know. So what can we say? How is this any different than a brutal dictatorship? That's why I got asked. Where is the democracy?
The only difference.
Look at Iraq, evil. Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
We got Barack Hussein. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We got Barry Hussein. Okay.
We do. The only difference is we have a media owned by five corporations, not six, five now, which carefully, easily sugarcoats and massages and whitewashes everything, so people aren't aware of the grotesque brutality that they're living in. Just don't know.
Yeah. Well, like you said, this could be the last leg. This is a chance. I think the Florida election is very important. You know,
that's a week from tomorrow.
I don't know what got Tim Canova to do this, because it's like walking into Meyer Lansky.
That's a weird one.
You got the Haitian gangs down there, and you got the Colombian, you got Cuban exile gangs, you got Jamaican posse down there, you know, not to mention, you know, the Dade County Police Department. how many lions does this guy need? You have to walk in. But I have to tip my hat to the guy, Canova. He's a law professor, for, daring to take on the black heart of the establishment.
And well, remember,
the
Collier's book, Vote Scam, was written about Florida. Florida is the grandfather state of vote scam. So Wasserman, Schultz, if the party wants her to win, she'll win. It's that simple.
Well, apparently a lot of people in the party are nervous because there's too many bodies, right? They can't have her, let's say, being arrested for shoplifting or something in Washington, and suddenly some eager beaver cop, gets her to spill the beans or something, or hears her talking in jail.
Right.
I mean, they got to get rid of her. She's too dangerous now. There's been too
many. You're saying she might get depressed and commit suicide, huh?
Well, the thing is, they're in a pickle. They don't want her. Canova, at least, he would threaten Wall Street, but he would not directly threaten the political establishment. They're in a jam. They need her to keep the gangsters in line. The gangsters are not happy, right? Because she screwed up this payday loan. There was the attempt to undo the payday loan bill. There was a bill in Congress to regulate the payday loans more and investigate them for usury, okay? She tried to sabotage that. She led to sabotage that, but she failed. She was exposed by Canova and company, so she failed there.
Huh.
So the gangsters are not happy with her. So she's basically, I think she's a marked woman. There's a lot of gun sights on her right now, okay?
Well,
a lot of gun sights on her right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then again, the only thing, they're scared of Tim Canova, too. He's a law expert on Wall Street, and he will connect payday loan scandal all the way up to, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan.
I don't think we've seen the end of the dead bodies yet. We got...
No. We got to watch for swing states like Iowa, Florida, where Hillary's projected to win by some bogus polls, okay? And
virtually all the polls are bogus, by the way. Virtually all of them now.
Yeah, they're totally bogus. They're all paid consultants. I mean, they're all, these polls are paid for. They don't do them for free. They're paid for. And so Seth Rich, he worked for a polling organization, Greenberg, okay? And so he understood the polls. He looked at the data and said, you know, this ain't kosher, folks. This is, we've been reading this thing. This don't add up. There aren't that many people, Democrats and voters. There's not that many independents in that state. So I'm sure he came up with that. I think that was the real smoking gun, where he might have filed a report to DNC, There's a lot of screwy stuff going on, and they said rub them out, because that's screwy stuff. We ordered it. We paid a lot of money for that, buy that election. I think right now, this insurgency, populist insurgency, don't get caught up in what's left or right, Trump or Sanders. There's got to be, like I said, quid pro quo. Washington is too big to fall, not too big to fail, too big to fall. So it's got to be gang tackle. Okay, you got to have people come from left, right, and center to gang tackle Wall Street. It's the only way it's going to happen. If there's infighting, I've warned about this before, not get involved in infighting. If I have progressive friends, from long ago, my college days, and I keep telling them, I don't know why you're denouncing Trump and all that. That doesn't make any sense at all, right?
Huh.
This is about populism, about democracy.
And
a lot of them, I say, Russian Revolution, 100 years ago, unfortunately, it failed in Russia, okay? But the American Revolution is still going strong 230 years later, okay? So that's the revolution in the United States that has to be fought, okay? So, and I think both the right and the left, in fact, can agree with that, okay? Mm. It's democracy or it's plutocracy. I mean, they're just, the choices haven't been starker.
Well, we'll find out on Debbie next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. So we'll see. Interesting.
Interesting. It's going to be very. It's going to be very interesting because there's got to be change right now. Change and hope. That slogan is kind of worn out by now. But this is. Things are coming down to the crunch. Okay, we're not that far off from November. This is a decisive battle. Because how Congress shapes up to be able to get Wall Street, you got to clean out a lot of that Congress and Senate, obviously. Okay,
right.
Protectors, they're the gatekeepers for Wall Street. You got to get in some new blood in there who are willing to take on a pretty hard job, risk their lives. It's a life risking job.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So, that's how I'm seeing the thing, and Fukushima, unfortunately, still there, still cooking away.
Fukushima is cooking away.
Absolutely no news. The typhoon just hit Japan, northern Japan, so Fukushima's flooded again. So any progress on the ice wall that they reported was during the dry season between the early summer rain, late spring rain, and now typhoon season. So now problems begin again at Fukushima. The ground gets soggy, and as we know, it's these thousands of tons of water come off the mountain, seep into the ground, flow under the ground. The attempts to contain that water will fail, and it means it's being flushed out. More and more of that is being flushed out into the Pacific. They wanted to cover Fukushima with some of the reactors with a concrete dome, just out of sight, out of mind.
Are they still talking about a sarcophagus? Still?
Yeah. It's been massively opposed by a lot of engineers now who realize the problem's under the ground. It's not over the ground right now.
You cover the ground. All you're doing is ascertaining that the underground pollution mechanism will remain forever. That's all they're doing. 99% effective. Fukushima ice wall fails to seal off crippled plant. Big surprise, right?
Well, you got to understand there's some intentionality in this because I've suggested that they should drill a tunnel into the core of the core bedrock there, Mount Pacoima, right behind the plant.
Right.
Where we can store the water pretty safely in a network of tunnels, okay? And we can do all kinds of separation filtering techniques and all that.
Uh-huh.
So it is possible to stop the contamination of the Pacific. It still is. Although, it's going to take, I don't know how many thousands of years for what's already been damaged to come back or destroyed to come back.
Yeah.
Tough situation.
It is. All right, my friend. Thank you.
We have the Olympics.
Yeah, God. Talk to you next week, huh?
Very good then.
All right, you take care.
Dana as well. If you're okay, Dana, get some rest up there. We hope you're okay.
Yeah, we do. All right, thanks, Yoshi.
All right.
Okay, see ya. All right, and that's it for tonight. We're off and rolling on Monday. There's sure a lot going on, and wow. Talk to you tomorrow night. Have a good night. Have a good day tomorrow. Be careful, stay well, and think good thoughts, and eat good food. Number one.